Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just to remind you, tomorrow we will have some special radio programs during this Today's Issues 90 minutes, so plan on that. There'll be excellent programs, and then Friday we'll be here live, JJ, Ed, and yours truly with Learning University. So we will do that on Friday. We'll be here live for that show for Trivia Friday. Tim with Fred now, and Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
When last I saw you, Steve, your arm was underneath your shirt in a sling, and now you've pulled it out.
So yeah,
we making progress.
Making progress. I start physical therapy today on the arm. I had rotator cuff surgery about 2 weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago. And
do you know what the physical therapy is going to include?
It includes making me cry.
That's what I was. Sure. I wasn't going to say that, but
I didn't know.
Physical therapy makes everything sound so happy.
I know, yeah. Right.
You know it's going to be
so fun,
isn't it? You know it's going to be bad when they say this is going to hurt.
Yeah, right. I mean, who doesn't?
Let me know when it hurts.
It's going to hurt you more now. Than hurt me.
I mean, who doesn't? Physical therapy just sounds just so innocuous until you go. And, it's the physical therapist's job to become Dr. Payne.
Mm-hmm. I know. So I had it done on my knee. I know.
No pain, no gain. Well, you've had
it. Yeah, it makes you start saying, well, maybe it's not so bad living the rest of my life in a sling.
I know. So you got the sling out. And so what are we looking at? Maybe a month you'll be able to be without the sling? What?
I don't know. Well, I'll have to talk to my they say it's a lot longer. The shoulder is a lot more complicated than the knee, or it's a lot longer than the knee anyway.
Yeah.
He had to do a lot more stuff.
Gotcha.
Clean up some stuff in there. And
gotcha. All right.
I don't know.
Well, what's your first story, Steve?
I want to talk about the goings-on at MSNBC.
MSNBC.
Our favorite network that we like to hate watch.
MSNBC.
MSNBC is having some problems. They are reportedly being shuffled off into Neverland by Comcast, who owns them. There's rumors abounding, nothing official, that a lot of people want Elon Musk to buy in MSNBC and do
Fred
what he
does.
Did, and do what he
Fred's lobbying
better.
For that.
I know. I am, too. I'd love to see that.
For the pure fun.
Meanwhile, what we're finding out is that during the campaign, you know, Kamala Harris sat down for almost no interviews, and the ones she did sit down for were kind of friendly. Well, now we know kind of why. Kamala Harris's campaign paid two payments of $250,000 each. This is $500,000 to the National Action Network, which is Al Sharpton's nonprofit, right before he sat down to talk with her.
He has a program on MSNBC.
He has a program on MSNBC, and she sat down for a hard-hitting interview with him. But before the interview went on, she paid $500,000 to his nonprofit. I want you to hear some of what the interview sounded like. See if you could possibly withstand this withering criticism. 13.
Here is my exclusive interview with Vice President Kamala Harris. I have to ask you about your opponent. He used a very ugly term about you last night. How do you react to this kind of street talk from someone who wants to be president again, that was president? What does it do, in your opinion, to the standards we're setting for our young people all over the country when we're using this kind of locker room street talk about an opponent for president of the United States?
So the American people deserve so much better. That's how I come at it. And to your point, the president of the United States must set a standard.
I don't know how she got through that question.
Yeah, no. What did Trump call her?
I don't know. He said it was something that started with S. I don't know what it was. I don't. And if I did, I think I couldn't say it on our air. So.
Yeah. All right. So anyway. Yeah. So here we have the cable news channels. There are three main ones. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. There's Fox News, which always leads in the number of viewers among the three.
Mm-hmm.
By far, for decades.
Has.
Yeah. And then there's CNN, and they're number two, usually, not always, but, and then there's MSNBC, which is number three. And CNN and MSNBC, they basically split the liberals' viewership, right?
Yes.
With most of them probably going to MSNBC. Rachel Maddow is their star.
Yep.
Now, she's having to take a big pay cut because their viewership has tanked to I know this word is overused a lot, unsustainable levels. In other words, if the viewership doesn't pick back up for MSNBC and they can't get back over a million people watching every night with a national network like they have, then I don't see how they stay in business. I think they'll have to just go kaplunk, you know, and go out of business. Which and the far left, which watches NBC, they're completely and totally demoralized after the election. So it's kind of like, why do we don't want to be the resistance any longer? They were the resistance.
They were,
during the Trump 4 years.
Those people were the ones that kept CNN and MSNBC alive during the first Trump presidency. They were the resistance. Anybody that wanted their fix of Trump derangement syndrome would tune in. But since this election victory, this in 2024, they have not come back. They left when Biden took office, and they're not coming back.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens there with MSNBC. Of course, NBC, that's the parent company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Comcast is the parent company that owns both of those.
The conglomerate.
Okay, yeah. Comcast is a parent company that owns all NBC and all its affiliates.
Correct.
NBC, CNBC.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some Hispanic networks.
Okay. But it's all owned by Comcast.
Comcast is the parent company.
Yeah, CNN too is hurt. CNN is giving layoff notices. What has happened in the media over this election period is absolutely amazing. You had the L.A. Times. You had a revolt by the staff there when the L.A. Times refused to
endorse
Harris. Same thing happened at the Washington Post, and the owners of these papers are saying, we need to make money in order to stay alive, and we're losing subscribers. Same thing happening at CNN. Jeff Bezos. Owns CNN?
No, he owns the Washington Post. Does he own CNN?
I think. Anyway, the ownership at CNN, same thing. We're losing viewers. You have to have viewers in order to charge people who want to run ads a decent price. And so these media are crashing. The left-wing media, they are crashing. And the owners are saying, we've got to do something to balance our coverage.
Right, because the owners are business people.
They are.
They're in it to make money.
Yes.
Warner Brothers owns CNN.
Okay.
And one last comment on this interview scandal. You got to wonder the wisdom of spending that much money on an interview that's going to be friendly anyway. It's kind of like paying your mom to love you. She's going to love you no matter what you do. And Al Sharpton was going to give this kind of softball interview no matter what happened.
Well,
but yet they parted with $500,000.
Okay, so I'm just thinking out loud here. But if you're Kamala Harris, the VP, and you're running for president, and you have donors, right? Mm-hmm. People who give you money for your campaign because they want to see you win. And then now you learn that $500,000 of the money spent from her campaign went basically into the pocket of Al Sharpton.
Yep.
To do interview. $500,000, right?
Yep.
I mean, no. $500,000, right?
$500,000.
So now it went to his organization. I guess it's a nonprofit.
The National Action Network, yeah.
But let's just be honest. It basically went to him,
mm-hmm.
or where he said send it. So it was basically a pay per play.
Yep. Yeah.
And if I'm a supporter of hers, of course it's a moot point now. But if I'm a supporter of hers financially, I'm going, why do you need to pay Al Sharpton to do an interview on MSNBC? You're the Democrat candidate for president. Doesn't he want to have you on? And don't you want to do the interview? And that alone benefits his his him, but now you're just having to, like, it's an infomercial. You just, hey, write a check for $500,000 and we'll give you an hour on MSNBC. Isn't that what it sounds like?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. Like, to Steve's point, that they didn't need to pay anything to Al Sharpton. I mean, Al Sharpton was going to do a softball interview anyway.
Right.
And the Kamala's people had to know that. I think it could have come right down that, hey, Al Sharpton's our friend. Let's just cut a check for $500,000.
That, or maybe it was the thing that got them the questions beforehand. But Al Sharpton did not tell MSNBC this was going to happen. I saw another headline from the Kamala Harris campaign. They are blaming Donald Trump for her not appearing with Joe Rogan. To which I say, mission accomplished, I suppose. That's
it was better for her she didn't go on Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. 3 hours?
That would have been a disaster. It would have been worse. She'd lost by more.
Yeah.
The finger-pointing and the post-mortem continues on the Harris campaign. Rep. Omar Ilhan, the squad member, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota,
yeah.
She's saying that where Vice President Harris lost it was when she decided to bring Liz Cheney with her on the campaign trail. She wanted to pick up disaffected Republicans. Well, the only constituency that she had really in her pocket were young influencers, young people. And so what better way to do young Democrat young people than to bring on Dick Cheney's daughter? It didn't work out. So that's Ilhan Omar says that was their death, what caused the campaign to die.
Yeah, that's sad.
The Democratic Party is in total disarray right now.
Yeah.
It is.
They're floundering out there.
They are. They're pointing fingers. This is the problem. This is the problem. Well, the reality is a whole bunch of problems. They kept Joe Biden. They kept propping him up. And now they're saying we kept him too late. Joe should have left earlier. Joe wanted to stay, but Nancy Pelosi and others forced him out. But then they didn't have enough time. All they had was Kamala Harris. And everybody knew she was a horrible candidate.
Yeah. They got incompetent people trying to enforce stupid ideas.
And they are. Listen to. I want to hear Peggy Noonan, who said, it's not that you're not communicating correctly. It's that what you're communicating is stupid. It's not what people want to hear. Cut 8.
If you are a Democrat now, you are feeling depressed and anxious, and you are casting about for what went wrong, and you're trying to define what your problem is. If I were asked for advice, I'd say the first thing you must know is that your problem as a party is not a communications problem. It is a content problem. It's not that you're talking wrong to people. It's that your issue sets, the things you stand for, are not considered attractive by more than one half of the American people.
Yeah, yeah, she just bingoed.
Yeah. Yes.
Right there.
Yeah.
So,
poll after poll after poll during the campaign said people are concerned about the economy. Joe Biden and company and Kamala Harris were telling people, hey, things are great.
Yeah.
The economists say we're doing a wonderful job. The border, they denied there was a crisis on the southern border.
They made it. They created it.
They created it.
Yeah.
So economy, southern border, the crime that was going on and has been going on in the country because of Biden policies, all of those things we talked about the transgender issue, all of those just things that the Democrats were trying to defend were the things the American people hated.
Yeah, that's what Peggy Noonan right there is saying.
Yeah.
And you combine that with a bad candidate.
Yes.
A bad candidate with a bad message.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a recipe for success right there.
Nope.
So, anyway, next story, Steve.
All right. They are in the middle of a United Nations climate change conference now.
Oh, good.
Yes. It's in Azerbaijan.
It's where?
Azerbaijan.
Where is that?
It's somewhere in the Middle East. It's okay. It's one of those
way over the Black Sea.
A former Russian.
It's in Russia?
Actually, to the east of the Black Sea, I believe it
is. Yeah, it used to be part of Russia.
Yeah.
But before the all of these.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, John Kerry, the U.S. climate czar, is there. And
Good.
He's starting to panic, I think, because certainly his priorities are not going to be realized under Donald Trump. And I don't know what he can do in the next 50 days, but he's talking like something needs to be done and done now. I want you to hear cut 9.
I think, personally, we're on the brink of needing to declare a climate emergency, which is what we really have. And we need to get people to behave as if this really is a major transitional challenge to the whole planet, to everybody. People in Africa don't have electricity, need to choose the right kinds of electricity. And we need to help them be able to afford it and do it. We are the largest economy in the world, $24 trillion or $23 trillion economy, maybe more by now. The next closest is China at about $18 trillion. And the next closest to the two of us, Germany and Japan at $4 trillion. That's how far it drops down. You don't think we have some sort of obligation out of that to be responsible? I think you do. But I'm just saying, our country needs to talk about this, and we need to make it happen.
So he wants to declare a climate emergency, and he wants to make sure that people behave a certain way. Fred, what kind of things do you think they could do to make – they can't make people behave in a certain way, can they?
Oh, they can, and part of the agenda has been climate change to tell everybody there's this crisis. So every time there's a hot day – you know, there you go, climate change. Every time there's a hurricane, it's all about climate change. Listen, what John Kerry just said, Al Gore has been saying for 20, 25 years, and people are saying, wait a minute, you know, life goes on here, folks. But to your point on the behavior, they have been hoping they could use climate change to force behavior on people.
Right.
For example, we're going to make you drive certain cars, all right? And we saw that during the Biden administration.
Right.
We want a certain percentage of Ford cars to be EVs, et cetera, et cetera. But then we saw the examples. I think this was in Britain. We're going to have zones. And you're not allowed to travel out of those zones only at particular times of the week, of the month. So we're going to lock you in so you're not using energy to drive to a distant work, whatever the case may be. So that's what they want. But you know what? The American people, at least, aren't buying this anymore.
They're not. And the threat is even worse. You remember we've talked about the World Health Organization is considering a treaty on natural disasters, on the next pandemic. And you remember the COVID lockdowns and all the requirements that you had to do, closing buildings and churches and making people stay home and wear masks and get vaccinated? Well, they want to write climate change into that rubric of the World Health Organization so that they can put some of those same measures in place if they decide that there's a climate emergency. It gets very, very authoritarian very, very quickly.
Well, tell you what to eat and what you can't eat.
Yeah.
Because they want to get rid of cows.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. It's crazy when you think about it. Absolutely crazy.
Again, the American election.
Yeah.
Just a big setback to John Kerry and his dreams of making everybody behave a certain way.
Yep.
I mentioned it before. I don't believe in man-made global warming.
No.
If the globe is warming, it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's not anything you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And all they ever want to talk about, for the most part, is how to control the American economy. All right, and how to control Americans, because evidently, even though we're the cleanest country in the world, maybe with the exception of Canada, we're somehow the fault for the global warming. And so even if America did everything that these climate activists said we're supposed to do, the rest of the world, for the most part, maybe with the exception of Western Europe, but China doesn't care. China and India are the biggest polluters in the world, and they're not. You don't say, why don't John Kerry go over there and talk to them, get them to modify their changes? We're doing our part here in the U.S. to keep the planet clean. Again, if there's global warming, first of all, I need to see some evidence of that. But if there is, I don't give in to that's caused by my SUV.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't have an SUV. I have a smaller car, but I'm just saying that's what they, John Kerry always wants to talk about what Americans need to do.
Yeah. And just to the point, you said that the biggest polluters, yes, they are the biggest polluters.
Talking about India and China.
India and China. But I also want to say that what they're trying to regulate is CO2 is not pollution. They say it's pollution. And China and India are doing other types of real pollution. The rivers over there are just awful. But plant food, this is what plants eat in exchange for oxygen. They're all messed up.
You want to know who controls the climate of the world?
Who's that?
Job 37, God. Right. Job 37. If ever you're having a debate with somebody on this, Job 37.
Yeah. Okay.
God controls it.
My
yeah,
God
amen.
So great.
Listen, Americans and Canadians too, I'm sure, Fred, it's been ingrained in our national being for at least 50 or 60 years to not pollute.
Yeah.
To not litter.
Yes.
To keep your rivers and lakes and beaches safe.
Yes.
And so all those things.
Nothing wrong with recycling.
Environmental.
Yep.
What do you call them? Environmental care.
Yeah.
Cares. We all have those.
Yes.
Nobody wants to breathe polluted air.
Yeah. And you know, as others have said, we're not against electric vehicles.
No.
If you want an electric vehicle to put around your neighborhood.
Go get one.
Go get your groceries. Go get one.
Yeah. Nobody's against electric vehicles.
But don't tell me I have to buy one.
Right, 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 exactly. All right, Steve.
All right, let's visit the little town of Emo in Ontario, Canada.
Emo.
I'm going to.
I thought that was a character on like
a name
Sesame
of a movie.
Street or something.
Yeah.
It's Elmo, isn't it?
It's Elmo. In Emo, Ontario, they have been fined by the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal has fined Emo $10,000 and required its mayor, Harold McQuacker, to provide the group with $5,000 from his own account. It has to be his own personal money. The reason? They didn't put up a pride flag during the month of June. They refused to make June the official pride month.
Who's trying to fine them?
The Ontario Human Rights Tribunal, by the way, legally binding fine. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
Canada needs an election like we just experienced here in the United States.
Right.
And there is a Donald Trump in Canada.
There is. Okay.
Pierre Poilievre.
Just pay attention to him.
He is the head of the capital C Conservative Party.
Okay.
He is a younger Donald Trump.
Is he going to run against Trudeau?
Oh, yes.
Now, Trudeau, can he run forever? Is there any limitations on how many times he can be
We don't have term limits in Canada. However, when it comes to polling right now, Pierre was his dad. Justin Trudeau is in the barrel. I mean, nobody likes this guy.
Wow, okay. So he could lose.
We're all praying.
Oh, you mean God's against him too?
Yeah. Yeah, I would put him left of Joe Biden.
Really?
Talking about
Trudeau.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Steve, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Remember, tomorrow we'll have special radio programs. We won't be live here with today's issues, but we will be back here Friday. Now, the shows we're going to air during this hour and a half tomorrow are going to be excellent. You're going to want to listen to them. But we'll be back here live with Learning University on Friday. Have a great Thanksgiving Day celebration, everybody. See you back here Friday.